I do want to take a moment also to start mentioning what is going to happen a week from tomorrow, right here on this station. It is the next edition of our summit. It's going to be the Red and Gold preseason summit, and it's going to be at King's Fish House down in either Santa Clara or San Jose, whichever one you want. Apparently the border is like going right through table 22. I don't know, whatever. You know where it is. It's going to be down there at Valley Fair. We cannot wait. These things are a ton of fun. If you're a listener and you've never been, please come see us. We have a great time with our listeners. We're going to feed everybody. We're going to have a really good time. We're going to talk out all things Niners, and it's one of those few times. It's kind of like a professional version of a wedding. Like a wedding and unfortunately a funeral are the only times in your life where almost everybody who matters to you maybe is all in the same spot at one time. That's kind of what makes them special. Well, from a professional sense, that's what the summit is for us. It's only one time or two times, depending on how we do it each year, when all six of the hosts are in the same spot at the same time. Even when we have an all-company meeting, it's always during Steiny and Goose, so they're not there. So this is an opportunity for all six of us to be together, plus a lot of the rest of our staff and team. And so please come join us down there. We're going to have a great time, especially you, Damon Chang. I love all of our listeners equally until today.
What happened?
Damon Chang wrote on YouTube, if I won $850 million, I would give all the hosts $1 million for sure. And then someone was like, come on. And he's like, no, for real, I would. All right. There it is. Damon is now the coolest listener of 95.7 The Game.
Love it. Spadoni in his infancy as a host, he's like, right on, go yeah. Damon. I'm Team Damon.
I know. I'm like, this is almost like when a show goes into syndication. Like, what about, like, if you've been there longer?
Sure.
Although maybe I shouldn't go that route because I'm actually the next youngest in terms of tenure.
Interesting, yeah.
Out of the group. So, whatever. Yeah, you deserve the most.
Well, yeah, I mean, as far as contiguous employment, Steiny, he got rehired a little bit before I got rehired, which means he got fired a little bit before I got fired.
Didn't you get here before him to begin with, though?
I did, yeah, yeah. I did. So,
I did.
Overall, like, whatever, shifts and whatnot, sure, it could be close. But I take the million, even though there are tax ramifications for both Damon and us to receive. Those are penalties is what they are. Grady's getting ready for
ramification sensation.
That's exactly right.
Anyway, all right, so we're going to take you through the Lynch sound, and here's the question that we were trying to talk out with listeners at the beginning of the show. And definitely would love to do it again. Shout out to all of those of you who are just getting in your car, getting off work at the old normal time. Does anybody still work normal time anymore? Is anybody just 8 to 5-er?
Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, people work.
They do?
Yep.
No. I know they work, but does anybody work 8 to 5 anymore?
I think so.
Is that like a real thing?
Yeah.
Or has everybody just kind of got their own deal now? I don't know.
I think more and more now people are working 4-10s. Yeah. So you might work 7 to 5 or you might work 7 to 6 with an hour lunch, and then you get one of the days off Monday or Friday.
Well, if you've been knee deep in paperwork or whatever it is, we'll get you updated on everything that Kyle and John said earlier today, specific to Juwan Jennings. My take, though, is that, and this isn't taking sides with Niners or Juwan, without knowing what he's asking for, I don't really want to do that. But for me, the bottom line is, jig is up. Juwan lost this battle. There's just no leverage left for his position, even though a lot of people think that there is, because the Niners are, they're woefully injured at the wide receiver spot. The parlay that Juwan would need to hit, which is I'm going to sit out and already miss a game check, and then in that first game have either multiple injuries or drops or just ridiculousness from the offense, to then have the 49ers turn around and do something contractually that will help me out in the immediate and the long term. And I don't even think the Niners would blink if that would happen. They'd be like, well, that was one game. Let's try again. We'll be in New Orleans next week. I just don't see it as a good bet. I don't see this as viable. So what would you do if you were Juwan? 888-957-9570. Willard and Dibbs will take your calls right now here in this 5 o'clock hour. What would you do if you were Juwan? He said he wanted a new contract. They said no. He said he wanted a trade. They said no. He said, all right, then I'm going to sit out camp. They said, good for you. He said, well, now it's about to be roster time. What are you going to do? They said, we're going to sign Marquez Valdes-Scantling and elevate Russell Gage and trade for Sky Moore. So, Juwan, what's your next move? I don't even know what the hell his options are.
Well, his options are show up and play, show up and, ooh, my calf hurts, or just don't show up. That's really what it comes down to. And the whole idea of the calf, well, he can show up and have his calf not be right, and they don't have to play him, and now they're less motivated than ever to rush him out there because turns out his contract is not incentive-laden, and they have found people who can actually be wide receivers. And so, yeah, they'd love to have Juwan, but if he doesn't want to come out and play, they've already made their contingency plans public and available.
I tell you what, he's in a really, really rough spot, because I also think, like, the other possibility is they go out there and they do get production from receivers, and every week that goes by is 1 week closer to DeMarcus Robinson and 1 week closer to Brandon Ayuk. And it's why I think the 49ers don't want to do an extension. If you really play this out long term, I don't know how interested they are in making a commitment to Juwan Jennings being a part of this going forward. He's closing in on age 30. They've got two other first-round receivers. One of them has already been highly paid. They've got two young guys they really like. They've got Robinson for another year after this one. He's a well-traveled and professional receiver. And then they've got other people, no doubt, that they will bring in future years, whether it be through the draft or free agency. So take a listen to what John Lynch said. You make up your own mind on what exactly the Niners are saying and what you take from it. At first, John Lynch was simply asked for an update on Jennings.
So Juwan's still working through his calf issue, making progress. We're kind of like everyone else, hopeful but not sure, you know, on week one, and we'll proceed as such. And so we're working to get the best mix out there. We added a piece today, and you know, in MVS, Marquez Valdes-Scantling, and thrilled to have him part of it. And, you know, we move forward.
Okay, so that's the start. He's playing the calf angle.
Hopeful, but not sure.
Right.
Is what he said about the calf.
Still working through the calf.
Hopeful, but not sure.
And everybody wants to believe the Niners. The reporters are on the scene. Nobody's going to call BS right out of the gate. They're like, all right, if it's a calf, well, then what do we know? A, this is really lingering. And B, this is not what you said 5 days ago about the calf. Kyle Shanahan, and I quote, he should be ready by week one. Now, it's only hopeful. So correctly, the media says, well, that sounds like something is just not quite healing right. So what are you doing about that? Maybe are you doing some more imaging of the calf?
You don't image a guy like daily, you know. So that's something that happened a little bit ago. And, you know, if it doesn't get better soon, I'm sure we'll be doing more of that.
Is it worse than you originally had thought it was going to be?
Yeah, but I also, calves can take a long time. That's one thing with that injury. Played with guys who they can take a while.
All right, so he's trying the exact same calf angle that Kyle has been using all month, quite frankly, which is calves are super tricky, so I don't want to put a timetable on it, even though for the first time on Saturday, Kyle did put a timetable on it. So he tries that, but then, and I think it was Eric Branch of the Chronicle who then asked the question that got John to basically wave a white flag on this being all about the calf, because Eric asked him, hey, so based on what you're saying, once he does become healthy, then he's playing, right? That's when it gets interesting.
Well, there's a lot that goes into that, Eric. You know, ideally, everybody has a training camp. Everyone's out there. You know, that's a perfect world. But, you know, he's been putting in work to the side, and we'll have to make that judgment when the time comes. You know, the other thing is both things can be true. You know, he wants a new contract and he's got a hurt calf. So I think people want to assume one or the other. Both things can be true.
Yep, they can be, but I am going to be one of them peoples that goes ahead and assumes one of these is at minimum way more to the
true
forefront than the other one.
More truer than the other, and you could hear him say it where, you know, Eric, ideally, you know, you'd have a player who's in camp and he goes through practice, and, you know, that's what you'd want to see, and then he kind of works his way into the spot where geez, I need to get back to the calf, because if I just say it like this, then it sounds like I need him to practice and play. He's healthy, and if he goes into camp and practices, then yeah, he'll be available, and then that's when he goes back to the calf. And then, you know, two things can be equally true. In other words, he's got a bad calf, and the contract is not to his liking. P.S., the calf is probably much better than the contract is on that relative scale, but, you know, John Lynch is only going to be available today. That's it. He doesn't have to do any more of these. Getting into next week, it'll be Shanahan and stuff, and it'll be Robert Saleh. I think Brock Purdy probably will speak one more time before the first game, but this is John Lynch's last time to address it, and it just sounded to me like he kind of wanted to get out from underneath this topic.
Well, and I want to give a high five to all of our brothers and sisters who are in the room today. I thought they did a good job of sticking with this for the right amount of time, because as I had said about a week ago, you know, like, we were getting to a point where I'm like, I'm sorry, like, more questions need to be asked. We can know, and that's why, and John started with the same line of answers that we've heard before, and I'm like, this doesn't work anymore. You can't do the, hey, it's a calf, when's it gonna be ready? We don't know. Like, I'm sorry. We've reached our max on that answer. And I think a lot of people who do this for a living agreed. And they were like, yeah, so hold on a second with the whole, like, it's a calf and we don't know. So have you checked on it again?
Yeah, Jennifer Lee Chan with a good follow-up. Has it gotten worse?
Right. No.
Well, we're not going to image it.
Yeah, boy. Was it worse than you expected? Yeah, but they're tricky. Okay, it's a calf. But we can safely assume that once that calf is better, then he's playing. Right, John?
Eric.
There's a lot going on there. And then they pushed it even further. Hey, has Juwan asked out?
You know, a while ago he did, but that was a long time ago, and we've moved on from that.
That was during camp, or was it before?
I'm not getting into when it was, but it, you know, it was a while ago.
Tim Kawakami wants to know.
I'm not getting into that.
Yeah, when was the trade request? Not going to tell you. Okay, is it still an active trade request?
No, he asked for it, and we've moved on. And we're not doing that, so we're moving forward.
Yeah, we're moving forward.
I didn't jump it this time.
Good job.
I'm happy. I was about to. We're not doing that.
1 for 3, Hall of Fame in baseball.
Thank you. We're not doing that, is what he said.
No, and he kept doing it. We're moving on. Like, you know what there were shades of at the end of this was like Mark McGuire in front of Congress. Like, not here to talk about the past.
Right.
Here to be positive about this, and we're moving forward. And so, yeah, they don't want to talk about this, but it was time to talk about this. And I find this to be as revealing as anything they've done all month long. Go ahead with your calf all you want. This is a contract stalemate. The game's in 11 days. You haven't figured it out. All of your actions are suggesting that you are preparing for life without Juwan at the start of the season. And Juwan, quite frankly, I'm sorry, my man, I'm a huge fan, but your pants are around your ankles here. There's nothing you can do other than, if I were you and if I were Drew Rosenhaus, dude, go to practice tomorrow. Because if you don't, this is not going to go anywhere good, and you're going to start losing money, which is exactly the opposite of what you're trying to do.
Well, and he doesn't have to lose money if he comes in and the calf really is to the point where he can't go. He gets paid in on injured reserve, but the money he loses is the future money where, you know, he doesn't play, and maybe eventually he gets healthy enough to play long enough to earn that year. And I think you have to play by week 9 or something in order to get credit.
Show up by week 8.
It's about half the year, whatever it is. So he could play that game, but you become a free agent, and he's not going to be the most attractive wide receiver on the market, especially if he has 28 catches for 281 and one touchdown.
Especially if the Niners win without his services.
And honestly, and with the schedule, they might. You know, he's not the most important guy on the offense, and so you could tell that the contract stalemate, it happened before today, and you go back to the Juwan Instagram, which I think was Saturday or Friday or Saturday, where, you know, he puts out that song from Offset talking about, basically, you messed with the wrong individual, and I hope the next guy doesn't take it the way I'm taking it. And so when that post happened, I think at that point the message was sent to him that you're not getting your contract.
Yep. But this started way back in the offseason. We just didn't know. We just didn't know.
But I think when he puts out that post, that might have been the finality of,
yes,
like John said today,
we're moving on.
We're moving on. And today was his first time to meet the press, and he answered it the way he answered it, which is, you know, calves are tricky. We're not trading him, and we're moving on. Those are the takeaways.
We're chatting out Juwan Jennings on 95.7 The Game, and it's presented by Paramount Plus. You can't count on much these days, but you can always count on Sundays with the NFL on CBS and Paramount Plus. Watch your local NFL game live every Sunday on CBS and Paramount Plus all season long. Visit ParamountPlus.com/NFL to get started today. So this is why, and I don't want to make it sound like, you know, oh gosh, you got to just take the L and show up. But in this specific case, I really think Juwan is he's out of chips at the table. And it's a multifaceted thing. The 49ers are now filling up their roster with veteran receivers who can all be placeholders around Ricky Pearsall as they try to move through a period without DeMarcus Robinson and Brandon Ayuk. But Juwan is asking for an extension. He's not just asking for more money. He's asking for an extension. And this is where my mind started to go. And I bet it's where the Niners did. So Juwan says, let's do something for 3 years. You know, $17 million a year. Whatever the heck he's asking for. And the Niners look at that. They go, all right, so there's this year, and we're a little banged up at receiver right now. We'd love to have you. You're already under contract as well. But let's think about next year. So where would Juwan land as far as important offensive players starting in 2026 and assuming health for all of the key guys? How many names do you go through before you get to Juwan in terms of importance to winning?
At least 5 of the 11. And you know, you'd go Brock and Christian, Trent, George, and Ricky. That's, for me, that's a clean 5. Now, you want to Dominic Pooney me? We'll see how he plays this year. If Pooney takes another step forward as a legitimate interior lineman on a team that can run the ball, he's more important. He's harder to replace. And, you know, nobody wants to talk about Colton McKivitz as being a good, productive right tackle, but he's a good, productive right tackle. He's not Penei Sewell, but he's good enough to be a starter on a team that fancies itself as a good offense. So,
and you can keep going from there. What if DeMarcus Robinson has a nice year? What if Jordan Watkins, year two, is really ready to pop? Sure, there's Jacob Cowing, there's others. I'm not
Brian Robinson, sure, although he's probably not going to be back, most likely.
He's
going to
be a free agent. But, I mean, yeah, you're look, again, I don't know what's going to happen. All these guys could get hurt or traded or who knows what the heck's going to happen. But if the Niners are sitting there in planning mode, why would you spend a bunch of money on Juwan Jennings knowing that you have two other wide receivers who are first-rounders and Christian McCaffrey and George Kittle and you just broke off your quarterback? And so, therefore, next year you're starting to move into more difficult cap situations. It just – I love the guy, but it doesn't make any sense. It would not make any sense for the Niners to do that, and I get how that can be frustrating. And it makes Juwan feel like a piece of meat because what they're saying is, dude, you're under contract and we really like you. We love you. We want you this year. And yes, after this year, we will probably just watch you walk.
Right.
Unless you only get about 300 yards this year, and then maybe we'll have you back for about $5 million. How's that sound?
Yeah.
It probably makes him livid, but it happens in any business. Your timing and your position, they matter. They matter. And what the Niners do not have room for right now is to spend a bunch of money on yet another wide receiver going forward.
And that's the situation they were in last offseason when they decided not to give a contract to Mooney Ward. And I'm reading the Mike Silver piece from The Athletic in July, and we referenced it then. And Ward, who was not offered a contract by the Niners while McCaffrey stayed away, Ayuk held in and got broken off, Williams held out and he got more money, and Ward was in a similar spot to Juwan, but they kind of told him up front, you're not getting it. And he says he was hurt when he realized he wasn't getting it, so he wasn't motivated. Like from OTAs all the way through camp, he was kind of pissed off. And he knew when the season started, it was a wrap for him in the Bay. And he says, because if you're winning S, everybody wants to get paid. Everybody feels it. Everybody feels that. And he was there. He had surgery under the Niners' advice. He was rehabbing. He had been an all-pro, and he didn't get paid. So he was like, what the F? Like, people are not showing up and getting paid, and I wasn't. And it took a toll on him, and it took a toll on the team. So Juwan was here last year, and he saw Ward go through that, and now he's kind of in the same spot where, you know, Mooney Ward last year had to show up and play. He had the family tragedy that derailed his year, but, you know, Mooney was able to go out and get a $54 million deal with the Colts with 27 guaranteed at signing, and he didn't have a terrific year last year, but, you know, Charvarius was able to come in, and he had to swallow hard and play, and he got the paper, he got the bag, so that's where Juwan basically is. No he doubt. Has no choice but to come in and be the best receiver he can be, hopefully have a good year, and then he can double gun the Niners, I mean, and go out and get more money.
To be honest with you, you're already at a spot where I think you are now working against yourself financially, because you've already probably, at a minimum, you show up tomorrow morning, and I bet you've already taken some snaps from yourself week one, and then you don't know how it's going to go. I don't know who's going to produce. Who knows? Maybe Russell Gage will have seven catches. And then now you're taking snaps from yourself week two. Guess what happens week four? DeMarcus Robinson comes back to the team. And so you're already in a spot where your only play is to go try to put up big numbers again and then maybe be a free agent at season's end, and you're already working against yourself there. This kind of stuff was the job of Drew Rosenhaus. I think he's done a poor job here. Drew Rosenhaus, his job as the agent is not to be as simplistic as to say, dude, you had a good year, so let's ask for more money. Again, that's not wrong on the surface. But if you had correctly read the Niners landscape, you know damn well what's invested in Ayuk and Pearsall. And so if I were them, what Drew should have done was asked for more guaranteed money and some sort of a bump this year, not a long-term contract extension. Anybody looking at the 49ers situation sees a few things. A, Brock Purdy escalates to $1 billion next year.
Right.
And you have two first-round receivers, one of whom has already been paid. Like, that does not lend a team to be like, yeah, we got to pay yet another wide receiver. That was a misread, in my opinion, on the part, likely, of Drew Rosenhaus. And you can't ask the player to do it or the employee, because they're the ones who get emotional. And they're like, yeah. Like, they're talking, all of us, we're all built that way. I'm the key to this whole place. Give me more money. Everybody thinks that way. They should want me. They should value me. It's the agent's job to read the tea leaves and understand the situation with that employer. And I don't feel like Drew probably did a very good job of that here.
It's a question of reading the situation while also adhering to what the player wants. And all roads lead to Kuminga, and I can't help but think about his situation where, you know, he thought last offseason, he thought he was in a different stratosphere financially, most likely, than the Warriors did, and they were unable to find a middle ground, and so he played out that fourth year, and now you got to this year, and there's not enough money around the league for him to get an offer sheet from another team, and so now you're kind of stuck in a certain position. And similarly with Juwan, the Niners are playing Brock Purdy $52 million starting next year, and Ayuk's already on the books for 30, so there's just not a lot to hand out. So whatever the ask is from Juwan Jennings, it's clear that the Niners are not interested in playing along with that.
Yeah, it's just, so now that'd be my question if I had been in the building today, or if anybody ever had access to Juwan, which they won't right now. But it's like, you sort of get to the hypothetical moment. Okay, what happens next week? How's this going to go? And I know the Niners would do the whole, we'll check in on his calf is what we're going to do. But I feel like the Niners know better than that. The Niners right now are like, Juwan, the ball's in your court. We're here. You're under contract. We're moving on. We've signed receivers who will play if you don't. You now get to show up or not. And if you don't, you don't. And it does not cost the Niners much of anything. He's just not got that much money left on his deal.
Yeah.
So I don't know. Like, I don't even know. It's funny. We're sitting here like, what would you do if you were Juwan? I don't even know what the – there's two options, and one of them is terrible.
Right. The other option is don't play.
You just got to show up and play.
Right. That's basically what it is. And even if you look at the wide receiver market, and you were asking this earlier, is it out of whack? And I do think there's a market correction coming, because if you look at the total value contracts, there aren't really that many that are over $100 million. And when you drop off after the top 10 highest paid, of which Ayuk is one of them,
yep.
You drop down to a level where a lot of those guys are making, you know, 12 to 15 a year. And, you know, even those receivers, you would look at a guy like, you know, Christian Kirk is, you know, probably seen as better than Juwan, and Mike Evans better than Juwan. Stephon Diggs.
Mike Evans, my God, what is he had? 8 straight 1,000-yard seasons or something
right,
like that?
Right, but he's only making $41 million total, and if he gets another deal, and he will, he's not going to make $100 million.
Yeah, we'll see. He's getting up there.
32,
he's,
yeah.
Yeah, he's getting up there.
Yeah, so just when Juwan goes out as a free agent in the offseason, I don't think that he's going to be getting a 9-figure deal.
No.
Of course not.
No.
Right.
No. Yeah, I mean, that's what I mean, man. You're out of plays here. You know, you laid the card, you played the card, you lost. It sucks.
Yeah.
But sometimes you take the L, tomorrow
bounce back. Right.
I mean, it's all you can do, man. So I think if he just starts missing games and missing snaps and lowering his stats, it's only going to get worse. We've watched it in the NFL so many times. Missing games doesn't work. It doesn't work. You can threaten it all you want, and usually a team will try to meet you halfway. Trey Hendrickson, Terry McLaurin, and something can be worked out. But this is different. He's not enough of a star, and the Niners have too many obligations at that position going forward. So anyway, really, really tough. 888-957-9570 is the number. Speaking of wide receivers, Jerry Rice's name came up today. Do you have you got a little higher or lower ready to roll for us?
I got a higher or lower if you're interested.
Yeah, very interested, because we debuted this, was it last week or the week before?
Might have been the week before.
Yeah, so, and we had a whole lot of fun with it, and we played Who Are You yesterday, and all of this is fun.
Who are you?
Yeah, we like to compete with each other, so let's do it. Let's do another installment of Dan Dibley's Higher or Lower, and this one inspired by the greatest wide receiver there ever was, Jerry Rice.
He's the GOAT, and he accrued in his career 197 receiving touchdowns. So today's number that we're going to go higher or lower on is 197. Are we ready, Mark Randy?
Oh, we're ready.
Lucas Alexander, defending champion, are you ready?
Yeah, I'm here and I'm ready.
You're going to go first, but I have to ask my partner, Mark Willard, are you ready?
Yes.
All right, Lucas goes first, then we'll go to Willard, then Grandy as we play higher or lower.
And the number is 197.
Correct.
All right.
197 is your number for the day. Lucas, we start with you. Draymond Green, career playoff threes made. Higher or lower, 197?
Higher.
Willard?
Lower.
Grandy?
Higher.
It's lower.
Yeah!
174. Willard gets the point. We start with you, Mark Willard, number two.
I thought that was too easy.
Yeah. Some of these are too easy. Some of these are too hard. Apparently that one was too hard. Number two to Willard. Terrell Davis, career playoff carries. Higher or lower, 197.
Oh, see, now this is one of those mental games. Because I feel like that's easy, but you're asking, and now I'm overthinking it, and I hate myself.
I hate myself. We'll cut that.
Terrell Davis, career playoff carries?
That's what I said. Higher or lower, 197?
Lower.
Grandy?
Lower.
Lucas?
Oh, I got to go higher.
It is higher.
Ah, damn it.
204.
I'm 0-2.
Yeah, you are.
I overthought it. 204. And lost.
Lucas and Willard with a point apiece.
I'm like Juwan Jennings. I overplayed my hand.
Yeah, a little bit.
Anyway.
That was a tough one because his career was so short. But
yeah.
He toted the rock quite a bit.
Sure did.
Grandy, number three, we go to you. Number of vowels in all 50 states' names. Oh, higher God. Or lower, 197.
What the hell? How long did you count these up?
Did you sit down and count this, or did AI help you?
I sat down and counted.
Oh, my God. What if you counted wrong?
I didn't.
Okay.
Just a clue. Louisiana leads the country with 6 vowels in its name. Higher or lower, 197.
MISSISSIPPI.
190. That's a lot of S's.
Yeah.
Yeah. Louisiana's got some O's, U's, and I's, and a couple A's in there.
Lower.
Yes. And Lucas?
I wanted to go higher. Higher.
And Willard?
Vowels, 50 states, be an average of about 4 vowels per state.
That is high. It's good math.
I'm going higher.
The answer is lower.
Yes!
174 is the answer. 174. Despite Iowa with 3 of the 4 being vowels.
I know, Iowa. You're doing your good effort on
Thank
Iowa.
Thank you. Yeah. Appreciate it. And Ohio is the same.
Yeah.
Lucas, we go to you for number 4.
All right, is it 111?
111.
Okay.
Oh, we suck.
Lucas, in miles, the flying distance from SFO to the Reno airport. Higher or lower, 197. The flying distance from SFO to Reno Airport.
Probably how many miles on the ground? Probably
Lucas?
Higher.
Willard?
The flying distance, because it's probably not direct A to B. I'm going to go higher.
And Grandy?
Yeah, higher.
0-3. It's actually lower.
Oh, my God. It's such a pitcher's duel.
It was on a platter for you, Grandy.
It's like Logan Webb is pitching, and we're the hitters. Anyway.
192 is the answer.
Damn it.
To Willard for number 5, and you're going to love this one.
All right.
Career home runs for Brandon Belt. Higher or lower, 197.
Brandon Belt?
Don't Google, Grandy.
Yeah, no
He's
Googling.
Gonna play the drop.
No
I'm
Googling.
Looking through my hotkeys.
No, Brandon Belt?
Nobody knows what hotkeys are. They know what hot pockets are. Oh. Nobody knows.
Stop stalling.
Hot pockets.
Higher or lower, 197. Career homers for Brandon Belt.
Brandon Belt.
You career, should know this, Willard.
But I don't. I'm gonna go lower.
Grandy.
Oh no.
Oh no.
Lower.
And Lucas.
Higher.
It's lower.
Yeah!
Yes!
Grandy and Willard get the point. 194 is the answer.
You agreed with Grandy, Willard. Why are you happy?
I'm not. He agreed
first.
With me. I went
That's
first.
That's true. I agreed with him.
Yeah.
Number 6, we go to Grandy. You're in a tough spot going first on some of these. Democratic members in the current House of Representatives. Higher or lower, 197.
Holy crap.
Democrats in the House.
I don't even know how many people there are in the House.
That makes us fun.
I got 4 in mine. Anyway.
All Democrats.
Yeah. No comment.
Higher.
Whoa.
Grandy goes higher. Lucas?
I'm just Team Fade Grandy, so I'll go lower.
And Willard.
Wait, I'm sorry, Grandy. I missed Grandy's answer.
Grandy went higher.
Higher. Higher, and you went?
Lower.
You opposite
went,
of Grandy.
You went lower. I'll go higher.
The point to the higher. Team
yeah.
higher.
Let's go.
A lot of good strategy.
See you later, Lucas.
212 is the answer.
Yeah.
Round 7, we go to Lucas, and you're going to love this one.
Am I?
Higher or lower, 197. Career regular season receptions for Lorenzo Neal. Higher or lower, 197.
How many years did he play?
16. Ish. 16. 16?
Yeah, there's controversy over that number.
Whatever.
Night 17
lower.
Was when he got cut by the Raiders.
Love you, Lo. I'm going lower.
Lucas goes lower. Willard.
What's
higher or lower,
What's
197.
The score?
For low
I'll tell you
Neal.
After this round.
Oh.
You're tied. 3-3.
Higher.
Grandy.
That was confident, Willard.
Higher.
Oh, God.
Sometimes I'm trying to read dibs and not the subject matter.
Fair. How's that
That's,
going?
Yeah, not good, but better than you.
I can't even see him.
Yeah.
That's a great point.
I don't mean his
Grandy,
eyes.
Higher or lower 197?
I think it's higher, but I don't want to agree with Willard. I want to try to take a lead here.
How about you's answer?
Lower.
No.
Point to Willard. It is higher.
Boom! Shaka!
199 catches for Lo Neal.
The thought,
slightly higher.
The thought was he loves low.
Yeah.
So I knew he was good. Yeah. Anyway, you were going to prop him up. Anyway, go ahead.
So this we go to Willard to start.
What round is this?
This is round 8. Willard's up 4. Grandy's got 3. Lucas, he's got just the 1.
One. We start one with, right. That's crazy.
We it's start not going great.
With Willard, higher or lower, 197. Number of different San Jose Sharks who have scored at least 4 career goals.
Holy smokes.
This is just a coin flip.
That's just a complete... Wow.
Random. Hashtag random, all of
you
these.
You said number of Sharks.
Different Sharks.
Go Sharks. Who...
Thank you. It's a 4. Rest in peace, Ralph.
Sure.
Two things can be equally true.
Who've scored at least 4 career goals for the Sharks.
For the Sharks.
Correct.
Not just 4 career goals.
When did they become a team?
1991?
Oh, happy birthday to both of us.
And thank you. I might have been 92 or 3. I don't have it in front of me, but...
Golly. I'll say lower.
Grandy?
This is round 8?
Correct.
He's just being strategic always off of me now.
Lower.
He's a competitive piece. And Lucas?
Higher.
Lucas gets the point.
Okay.
Yeah, I'm better.
217 different... Sharks, Grandy, tough draw for you today because we're on round 9. Higher or lower, 197. Number of bathrooms in the Pentagon. Higher or lower, 197.
You definitely used AI on this one because you didn't go there and count. You would have gotten arrested.
Flushed them all. Grandy, number higher or lower, 197.
The Pentagon.
This one's super random.
You think?
Might have been high.
There are people out there who know this as a trivia question,
for sure.
I believe.
Nobody knows this. People who work in the Pentagon don't know this.
I'll go lower.
Lucas?
Higher.
I'll go
Willard.
I'll go higher.
The correct answer is higher.
Yes!
That's the game, huh?
Point to Willard and Lucas. Yes. 284, yes. And the reason is segregation. They had to double the numbers in order to have different, you know, white bathrooms and black bathrooms. So
I would say, do you know what that is? But I'm not going to do it in that case. Yeah, I won't.
And we'll do one more just because we're here, even though Willard's already won.
What is the score, by the way?
It's 5-3-3.
Yeah.
So the silver medal is up for grabs.
Second place is on the line.
Oh, no.
Yeah, let me go first.
All right.
Let me get it out of the way.
Willard, since 1860,
higher!
The number of different men who have won a major in golf.
Since 1860?
Correct.
The number of... Sure. Higher.
Grandy?
Yeah, higher.
And Lucas?
Oh, just to be Grandy, I'm going lower.
Higher. 234. Oh. And
hold that out, Luke.
The tiebreaker was how many have won 2 or more, and that answer is 89.
89.
So,
okay.
234 different golfers have won at least 1 major, including old Tom Morris and his son, young Tom Morris.
Off. The Schneid.
A win apiece.
I'm excited. Yeah,
there
we're
you
all
go.
Tied up, everybody. What a barn burner.
And that one turned out to be much more random than the other ones.
I mean,
it was very random.
Super
bathrooms
random.
In the Pentagon?
You
Can
know, wait,
I ask?
Vowels in state letters?
How do you even think of this crap?
So you go through and you got a number like 197.
Right.
And so you're thinking, what is about 200? And so something pops in your head and you Google it. It's like, how about Draymond Green? How about Draymond Green?
So you're not Googling, like, what are some things that are near the number 200?
No.
You just thought of bathrooms at the Pentagon?
Well, that one came to me later, and the vowels in all 50 states. I'm into the states. There's another one coming up in higher or lower that is state-centric.
That I get. Were you in the bathroom when you thought of the bathroom one?
No, but I was thinking about, like, bathrooms in the White House, and then that's only like 30-something. I was like, what about the Pentagon?
Well,
that's a big building.
You just popped, and then you like, how many bathrooms are there in the Pentagon, and what was the answer, by the
284.
way? 284. So 284.
And then I learned that it has to do with segregation, and I was like, you know what? That's interesting enough to throw in there.
Yeah.
And some of the other ones, I'm looking for numbers that are really close to 197, and I like the distance ones. There's another one coming up in my Justin Verlander episode that has to do with distance. So I thought, what's the distance between Reno and the city? And I was like, ooh, the flying distance, that's close. That's getting in there.
Are we going to sneak the Verlander one in before Verlander's not even a Giant anymore?
We should. Still remaining on my docket, I've got a Steph Curry. I've got a Verlander. I've got a Bonds, a Clay, and a Bill Walsh.
I'm not going to rip the guy, but I got to be honest. I didn't love his answer last night. This is first time he won a game at Oracle Park.
Mm-hmm.
And they're like, so, you know, how'd it feel to win a game at Oracle Park? And instead of being like, well, it felt amazeballs, or I certainly wish it wasn't August, late August,
right,
when this happened. Instead, he goes, be honest with you, I really kind of wish that I won one in 2012. Oh, thanks, Justin.
I love that answer.
It's a good answer. I'm being a sure. fuddy-duddy. But really, dude, like, you all stink so hard, and the first thing that you reference is you wish you took a World Series from us back in 2012 also. I don't know, man. Like, it just, I was like, no, just don't. Don't.
It's a great answer.
Are they bringing Eldridge up? You want him to?
Yeah.
Grandy, you want him to?
I mean, what else are we doing?
Lucas, he homered again last night.
Higher. Oh,
different. You love that.
Yeah, Eldridge, he homered again. He's got 8 homers in August.
Yeah.
An OPS of 899.
Don't you want to see if he can actually do it at this level for 4 weeks? I mean, give him a shot.
He also has struck out in 33 of his 85 at-bats. That's a lot of strikeouts.
Yeah, there may or may not be a Rafi Devers strikeout higher or lower that's still to come.
197, I'll go higher. I'll go higher.
That's pretty good.
All right. 888-957-9570 is the number. It's 540, so we're just going to completely mess around now until 6 o'clock on Willard and Dibs.
Back to Willard and Dibs.
It's a great question.
That's a great question.
And that's a great question.
On 95.7 The Game.
I can't. I can't. Creed is so funny.
If you do a bottom 10 songs all time, Creed might have 2 of them in there. With eyes wide open.
It's arms wide open, not eyes.
My eyes wide open.
What is
even
that?
Though I'm asleep.
No? Sing that to yourself every morning when you wake up.
Totally.
With eyes wide open. With arms wide open. He's welcoming his baby to the world.
Oh.
With arms wide open.
I got it.
That's what the song's about.
Sure.
Now, can you take me higher? I don't know what that's about. I don't know, sucker just smoking a lot that day. I don't know. Was he playing a Dan Dibley game show? I don't know. But
how high are you right now?
I'm high, bro.
It's awesome.
Dib smokes Kush.
Yeah.
That's the other one, Filmo Mike.
It's happened before.
Grady's getting older because now when he goes to his drops, he's got a little squint in his game now.
Yeah. What? Yeah. There's the drop page is just so full of different buttons. Yep. I have to squint because the writing is so small.
Yeah, you need some readers. I got a pair of readers in here.
No, he needs bigger buttons.
It's not an eye issue. It's a button size
I'm
issue.
I'm just saying, don't be like Goo. Goo, I love you, but just, dude, put them on. And there's a process here.
Oh no,
there's certain things you can do. Whatnot, you can move slowly. Like, I'm not one of these people that has changed my phone settings yet so that text messages that come in, one word covers up a whole line.
I can't see it!
Like, if somebody might text you, hey, I'll see you for dinner, and you have to scroll in order to get through that text because it's like 2 letters on a line. My sister has done this with her phone. I'm like, you're getting 2 letters. Like, you got, come on, you can do better than that. But I put readers in the bag. I put readers by the bed. You got to have those things.
Yep.
And it's okay.
Yeah.
It's okay. You turn 45, you can't see anymore. That's the way it works.
It is.
I didn't make the world. Someone else made it that way.
I've not gone the road of the readers yet. I've never worn them. And I'd rather not. Well, I mean.
What do you do in a dark restaurant?
I hold the phone as far away from my face as I possibly can, I can read it.
Not the phone, the menu.
Same thing.
Do you put a light on it?
If need be.
Okay.
I mean, you can usually angle it. And I had phenomenal vision for a long time, but then, as you mentioned, you get to be 45.
Overnight. You think you drank too much or something, and then all of a sudden it's like every day, and you're like, oof. And yeah, your arm's not. Long enough.
Yeah, still long enough at this point, but yeah, I have sized up the text on the phone a little bit, but I was looking at my brother's over the weekend, and he's in that mode like your sister is, where on the phone screen, there's like 6 words in a text message. It's like 48-point font. It's gigantic.
Like, seriously, the whole thing comes through like a thought bubble. It's like, my God. Oh, Ben in Hayward wants to talk about Rafi Devers. Hi, Ben. Thank you for calling. What's up?
Hey,
I just want to get you guys' take on this. The one problem I had with Devers was that we had Eldridge coming up, right, for first base. And I don't get it. I don't understand how that works, you know, where, you know, they're trying to get him to get Devers to play first base and working on that. But then you got Eldridge coming up and you spend all that money on Devers. I don't get it.
Well, Ben, here's what I would say. Thanks for the call, Ben. First of all, there's two things. And the broader thing is when you got an opportunity to get a great player, you do it. And you don't worry about who's coming, because let's not act like just because he's on the way, you know that he's going to be great.
Marco Luciano
was supposed to be next level, and he can't even catch. So Bryce Eldridge is 20. So as much as we all think this is a no-brainer, no doubter, it's not. All things have doubt. Secondly, though, let's not act like Bryce Eldridge is a great first baseman either. He's not. He's a work in progress over there, too. So the DH is in the National League. Therefore, there is room for both Bryce Eldridge and Rafi Devers on the same baseball field. Neither one of them are great defensive players. Both of them are wonderful left-handed bats. If Bryce develops, that's probably what you're going to see for the next handful of years. One of them is going to be the first baseman. The other one's probably going to be the DH.
And that right now is not the least of your worries, but you've got greater concerns defensively. And I would look into left field as the biggest issue defensively, Elliot Ramos. And again, that was, not yesterday, but the day before. And yeah, it might have been yesterday, where he just flat overran a ball and kind of stumbled, and he was able to recover and throw a guy out at second, but it's just an absolute adventure out there each and every time the ball is hit the left.
Yeah, completely. Maybe he can DH too. How many DHs do you get in a game?
Higher or lower, 197. Okay. I think it's lower. thank you.
It is a little discouraging to think about the Giants when people go, well, they need to make changes. And you're like, all right, so who's your left fielder? They go, no, Ramos. Okay, what about center field? Oh, Jung-Hoo Lee. All right, what about right field? Well, that's okay. There's an open spot out there. How about third base? Chapman. Shortstop, Adames. Okay, second base, probably Schmidt. Okay, the first base, well, you know, Devers. Okay, D.A. Eldridge. Yep, catcher. Yeah, Bailey. I'm sorry, where are the changes you're going to make? You're going to have to decide that some of these people aren't the people. And a lot of them are long-term, and the other ones are super cheap, which is what you want.
Yes, but if you could upgrade second, you would love to have Casey Schmidt be your super utility guy.
Okay,
you find a right fielder who has some power and can be a good right fielder, then you've got Matos, and maybe Gilbert can be, you know, fourth and fifth outfielders. Catcher is the really interesting one, and you've talked about it. When robo-umps become a thing, is Patrick Bailey's framing going to have the same value that it does now? Because right now, that's his separation skill. So catcher is one area where you might look for some offense as opposed to what you have now.
Yep. Well, now they did. I'm starting to hear, it's so early, but I'm starting to hear some positive returns with regard to the kid that they got in the Camilo Duvall trade with the Yankees.
Carlos Rodriguez?
Who is a catcher. And, is that Jesus Rodriguez. Now, well, you got Rodriguez.
Yeah, but, I mean, Rodriguez. You got to have the kid's name, right?
First name? Last name.
There you go. You're one-on-one.
Middle name? I'm not even going to try.
I probably would have missed it,
so that's fair.
Jesus Rodriguez. I'm starting to hear that they're getting intrigued by what they're seeing from him as he gets his feet wet within the organization. But it's so early. And, again, it's just a prospect. So, you know, can
a prospect,
you count on
but
that?
He's been in AAA for the majority of the year.
And so, like, at minimum, you know, does it push Bailey next spring? Do you get him into spring training and let him push Bailey? Yeah, absolutely. He's also right-handed, so you could do a platoon job and lessen Bailey's impact, what have you. I don't know, you know, but yeah, right now he's probably got the inside track to at least be the other catcher next year.
Yeah, Bailey this year in 108 games has an OPS of 558.
That's so bad.
It's
probably so bad.
Among qualifying players, it's probably last among catchers, I would imagine.
You cannot be below 600. That's so bad.
Yeah. Ugh. I mean, Tyler Fitzgerald on the year 606, and Lamont Wade Jr. was at 546.
Yeah, he lost his deal.
Yep.
I don't know
what happened. Is he playing anywhere? Or?
Yeah, traded to the Angels, right? Is he still in the org?
I don't think he's like a regular every single day, but yeah, I've seen him play a couple of times.
Hey, Kyle Harrison might be debuting for the Red Sox this weekend.
Okay.
I'm hearing some buzz. I'm hearing some talk that he might get the call for Sunday for the Sox.
Mm.
They sent Walker Buehler to the pen, so they need another starter.
Yep. Yep, there it is.
Lamont Wade with an OPS of 476 with the Angels.
Oh, my God.
Thank you. It's a far-out special.
Brutal. That's brutal. What are you about to do, Grandy? What's happening?
If anyone missed everything that John Lynch and Kyle Shanahan said today in Santa Clara, that's coming up next.
Okay. And it was very, very revealing. And, big, big, big important time, obviously. That's all brought to you by Fremont Bank. Here for you, here for good. Do you want to do it again tomorrow?
Absolutely.
All right, let's do it again tomorrow. Okay, everybody? That's for Dibs, for Granny, for Lucas. I'm Mark. Shoot your shot. That's all you got.